Hey everyone, thank you so much for tuning in today. Today I had the opportunity to speak with Karen Lee Batten, Canada's country star who has recently also just come out with another amazing song, The Trouble with Friends, if you've not heard it yet. I will link that one in the show notes. She has an awesome YouTube video that we talk about in this podcast as well. But Karen, I was able to meet about 9 years ago now when she actually came and sang at my husband and my's vow renewal ceremony. And from then, she has just been this incredible source of inspiration, motivation, and such an amazing human. And I know that you'll love this conversation. I actually started to record my Zooms, and I am going to be posting them over on my YouTube channel, Mom Sweat Sanity. Shocking, I know. If you would prefer to watch our conversation, it was a fun one also. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a great day, and I hope you enjoy the listen. Hey, it's your host, Brittany, and welcome to the Mom Sweat Sanity podcast, where we talk all things life, health, fitness, kids, relationships, you name it, nothing is off the table. A little bit of just me and a whole lot of knowledgeable guests. So throw on your Lulus to run or to mom, grab yourself a cup of coffee or a glass of wine, and join us as we unpack life's pressing topics and learn a little bit more of the who, what, whys of it all. Or at the very least, get real, share some wisdom, and grab practical tips to help in our daily lives. Where did your story begin? Where did you even fall for music, and where did this all begin?
So it started for me really young. My dad was in a Christian band called Assurance. And my first memories of that, I was probably maybe around four. And it was the church, you know, like I grew up in a very, very Christian family. My both grandparents were pastors. And my dad played bass guitar in the church. And then he also had this Christian band. My mom was in the choir. And so I would, when they had a performance, which was like, in my mind, it was a lot. It probably wasn't that much. But, you know, as a kid, anything big like that is a big deal. So I would sit, you know, on the first row, and I knew all their songs, whether it be, you know, hymns that they had recreated or whether it was writings that they had done. And I would just sit there, and I was just like the proudest little, I look like Annie, little, you know, four-year-old in the front row, just like belting out as much as I could, probably annoyed everybody around me. And then my parents made sure that I went to schools that had good music programs. So I played alto saxophone in elementary and in high school. And I was in every choir I could possibly get my hands on. So it was like before school, after school, you know, like I was not going to school at the regular hours by any means. And I was in track too. So that was, you know, a little addition there. Academics weren't my favorite. If I had to open a book, it wasn't so fun. So I was very much hands-on. So like arts and crafts and music and gym.
Totally. Yeah. Perfect.
That was how I learned the best. But I had a really outstanding music teacher in high school. Mr. Larry Nickel was so awesome. And like the guy has gone on to like write scores for the Vancouver Symphony. And like, he's just unbelievable. And he was somebody who, especially in that time of my life, it wasn't the easiest. The family was going through some, you know, garbage. And he was just sort of always there. And any question I had about music, like he was so passionate that I just looked up to this man so much, and would ask him 1,000 questions. I'd go in, I was just like music geek. And I would go in after school and be like, okay, Mr. Nickel, so on this sheet music, you know, this sort of thing, right? And just have these questions for him. And he was just a really good influence in my life. And then from there, it was like Canadian Idol. And then everything else sort of took off after that.
Oh, so amazing. Oh my gosh. So you grew up Vancouver, Lower Mainland?
Yeah, I grew up Abbotsford.
Okay. Yeah.
Born and raised in Abbotsford, went to a ton of schools out there. I know my elementary school that I should have gone to high school, my parents were like, we don't know where she's going with all her friend group. So they changed me. I actually graduated from MEI, and we're not Mennonite, but the music program there was so great that between the athletics and the music, and my brother was sort of along that same path. And so both of us ended up at MEI, and it was, yeah, it was great. I mean, private school is very different. And so I'm not sure that I ended up, you know, as the the face of private school my later years,
Yeah.
but what I was able to take from it was perfect, and I was very, thankful that my parents recognized the things that, that I liked to do.
Yeah,
So,
absolutely. I
yeah.
think that that's such a you obviously very clearly had this passion and went after it without like anyone driving it, motivating it for you from a young age, and then having that support of your music teacher so young, like you're so lucky to have found that.
I feel like that too. And you know what? We're still buddies to this day. I still talk with them every now and then, which is so awesome. When do you get to say that at my age?
Yeah, right. Nice time.
Still friends with these people, but I born and raised in Abbotsford, and then I actually have been married twice. So my first marriage, we moved to Vancouver and we were there for a while. So I actually got to live in Kitsilano, Vancouver, which I loved. The commute was a little crazy, other than the airport, which I always need to be sort of close by an airport. But just to like hop on the freeway and go see my mom in Abbotsford, it was like 45 minutes just to get to the freeway, and then another hour and whatever to get, out there. And I'm a big family person. And so we ended up moving to White Rock. And then when that relationship didn't work out, I actually moved back to Abbotsford. I call Abbotsford the Bermuda Triangle. Like, you really can't get out of it. Somehow it just sucks you back in. And then when I met my now husband, Mike, I moved to Langley. So I've been in Langley, BC now for 15 years.
Oh, nice. Well, I can only imagine that commute now too. Like the traffic these days is even worse.
I know.
So,
I
yeah.
saw my mom yesterday. We went for brunch in Fort Langley,
Oh,
like,
so
yeah, I love
nice.
it so much.
Yeah. And then you hinted to Canadian Idol. So was that like your kind of big start? Was this out of high school, college? Like what were you, when was this era?
Yeah, I did go to college. I went actually to Ontario Bible College.
Okay. I
Right, just
see
keep on going with the theme.
a
Went out there when I was 19. I was going through my own struggles and sort of needed to get the heck out of the Lower Mainland. And so it was a great option for me to go there. My uncle, I believe he was the dean of the school, and so he might have, got me in there. And I actually lived in dormitory, so I was there for about a year and a half. And wasn't really kind of going for all the grades, just sort of needed a new fresh start. And then I actually got accepted on a saxophone scholarship to Humber College in Ontario. Went through all the auditions and such, and it's from my understanding, it's a hard college to get into. I didn't really know that at the time. I just went, oh, this sounds fun, let's go and do that, and ended up getting the scholarship. And then I came home in the summer and I sang at my girlfriend's wedding, and I fell in love with a groomsman.
Oh, I love
And then the little Y in the road brought me back to where Abbotsford.
it. Oh, my
So
goodness.
I know. So move back home. And then that was what I actually had met my first husband. We were sitting on the couch one day and the commercial for Idol came on TV. And I sort of felt like that kind of like puke feeling, because I knew that like people are going to say I should go do it. And then I'm thinking, but maybe I should go do it. But so nerve-wracking to think of going on a reality series. And we had already watched American Idol. I think they were the start of season two at that point. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, is this really a thing? So the commercial no sooner had ended, and I looked down at my phone and it starts buzzing. And I'm like, I knew it. I knew that people would say I should do this. So I was going to move to Nashville at that point. That was the plan.
Wow.
And so there was a big pivot, and I went and auditioned for Idol and ended up in the top 10 on Canadian Idol. And that was about an 8 month period of time where you shoot the show. So it was all done in Ontario, which was
Okay.
pretty crazy. So I was the furthest away, the only one from BC. So I was up at the crack of dawn, and shipped off to Ontario. And it was sort of weird because they would have us there for choreograph and like rehearsals and such, and then we would like go home and then wait and then kind of get flown back for the actual shooting, and then we get flown home and we'd wait, and then so every single week I'd be out there, And it was like 18 flights back and forth to Ontario and back. So it was an interesting like wake up to the industry, you know, of how the industry can be when you're super busy, you're flying all over the place, and you know, and if things are going well for you, that is kind of what it looks like. So yeah, that was 8 months. I came back home, and I had just kind of tapped into the country music industry before Idol. I actually didn't sing country on Idol. I did Norah Jones and Alanna Miles, so extremely different than country.
Wow. Yeah.
And but came back home and had kind of touched on it right before that. And there was a producer, Tom McKillop, who is still a good friend of mine to this day. And he approached me and just said, you know, like I heard you sing country before this. I really think that you should have a stab at, you know, cutting a country record. And so I did my first record with him called Every Moment, and like played all the bars you could possibly think of across Canada.
Yeah.
And all the little holes, you know, all the little
Love
alleyways.
it. Yeah.
And so kind of floated with that album for a little bit. And then my sophomore album, Cause a Scene, came out after that. And that was sort of in the time frame of the relationship shift. And so hence the title, Cause a Scene. And I think I really was in that moment of having something to say. And
Yeah.
then it went on to the Under the Covers record that I got to go and do down in Muscle Shoals, Alabama with the Swampers.
Oh my gosh, so cool. So would you say then like Idol was really the crucial like kind of growth change in your path?
I think so. It was a true wake up call, you know? And I think that like when people have a typical, honestly, in an independent career, I still, it's a hustle. I'm still
Yeah.
independent, you know? So I'm still out there, you know, like figuring out where the shows are and, you know, and cutting these records and choosing the producers and the team and so on and so forth. But without that launch, it's definitely a little harder to get your feet off the ground. And so for me, what Idol gave me was like media. There was no social media back in those days.
Seriously, right? Yeah.
It was like, you know, woo-hoo, MySpace came out, right? So
Oh my gosh, no. Yeah.
it was like, you know, for me to be able to call up a radio station or have radio stations calling me, or to have CTV, who was the network that they used to film Idol, you know, interested when all of a sudden I have a new album coming out and they want to talk about it. And I get asked to go, you know, like things like that right out of the gate when you're a noob, you know, are hard to come by because usually it takes a lot of convincing to, you know, to say, hey, I'm different and I'm doing something different than this person. Can you please,
Yeah.
you know, give me this time that's so sought after. So I mean, that was amazing. Having that experience of a competition, I mean, sometimes this industry, it feels like that, you know, and you're up against a lot of competition. And I mean, had I moved to Nashville, it would have even been crazier because that's where a lot of people do kind of head when they're trying to, you know, hustle in this industry when they're doing country and even blues, you know. I mean, that you sort of
Yeah.
go down south, right? So that, you know, kind of like knowing how not to be is something very important, you know,
Yeah.
to not get caught in the
Absolutely.
drama of it all. It's everywhere, you know. And I mean, when you're on those reality shows too, I mean, you're their time, you're their money. So if there can be a little drama created, like this is fun, you know, and this happens in the
I could
industry.
only imagine. Yeah, it,
Yeah.
for their the viewership, right? Their
100%.
ratings.
Totally. And
Yeah.
I would say the other thing for me, probably two more things. One is like your chops. The realization that holy crap, there is so much talent in Canada. And listening to these like top 30, even top 100, that because it was top 100 that we started out with in Ontario. We
Wow. Okay, I didn't know
Yeah,
that.
we all sat
Crazy.
in the audience, and one by one, you would have to go and perform in front of all of your contestant peers. So
That's nerve-wracking on its own.
you're on stage and you're like, you know, these people are good. Like everyone
Oh.
in there is good, and someone in there is going to win. And you're having to get up there and perform. And I mean, it's like that to this day, you know, like my peers and my friends are unbelievably talented singers and musicians, and you can't compare yourself. You have to just remind yourself that like you're independent, you have something else to offer that stands alone. You know, I get that question quite a bit where it's like, what would you tell somebody else in your shoes that are just kind of starting out? And it's like, just do you, and every single time, choose what makes you happy. Don't choose what you think the audience is going to want to hear. You just really have to stick to your guns of who are you. And it's still something I have to work on a daily basis, you know? And then I would say the last thing would be how to perform in front of like no one. So like having a
Oh,
camera in your
what do you mean
face,
by that? Oh.
having a camera in your face and like knowing that there's 6.1 million viewers behind that camera was how many we had at the height of, you know, our greatest show.
Wow, that's
And
crazy.
you've got to be able to like know that you're singing to this black box with a red light on it, know which camera is on, and know how to still be emotional when no one's being emotional back at you. You're not getting any energy at all. It's not even like an arena when I do anthems for the NHL. It's not like, you know, where everybody's in there and I'm still looking into the camera because I know that it's going on national TV. And so people sitting on their couch, I want to look at them too. But you've got the audience, you know, so it's a little bit different. But to learn how to kind of, you know, be emotional and be able to throw that song back to an audience you can't see was definitely something challenging and a cool learning experience. So those would probably be the things I would take away from Idol. But yeah, it absolutely was the launch of, you know, the next phase of my career for sure. I wouldn't change any of it, even though it was dramatic.
Totally. But you say too, like just all the learning that you did take from that, like you're just speaking to me in the sense that also it's not just a like learning lessons for music industry. Like all of those things are so relevant just in life in general, just being yourself. And like, you know, it's so easy for us to like stifle our own voice and be influenced by other things. And so to be able to like also have that within, you know, your business is like, I don't know, so reflective, I guess.
I completely agree. And I love that you said that too, because it's so true. People do have to recognize that like we're all here, completely different souls and completely different passions. And, you know, like somebody might create it. I know this sounds so dumb, but somebody might create a candle that like the reason you buy it is it looks beautiful. Maybe it doesn't smell the best candle ever, but you love it because it looks beautiful. And then you pick up that candle that like it just looks sort of plain from the outside, but you smell it. It's the best smelling candle you've ever, you know what I mean? Like two of exactly the same industries, but you're bringing something completely different to the table. So never discount like who you are and how how you give back to the world, you know, it's can be completely different, but like just as important.
Totally, absolutely. I think so. You kind of touched on a few things that I want to go into, but I think right now, since we're on this conversation, just like your authenticity in your music, how do you stay this way while still adapting to the industry trends and stuff? Like, insert like TikTok here, right? Like, that's such a thing right now. So, how do you stay true to you?
It is hard. It has not been the easiest thing for me over time, especially the changes in social media, like you're referencing, you know, like I am not 20. And, you know, like I feel like, and I think that everybody can relate to this. I feel like the minute you get the hang of one thing, like, oh, Threads comes out. It's like,
Oh my
what
gosh,
is happening?
totally.
You know? And so I'm still in the process of really getting the hang of TikTok. I feel like I just got the hang of Instagram. But yeah, I mean it's hard because as we all know, perception is interesting, right? Like I know who I am, at least I feel like I do. And sometimes we all question, you know, what the heck are we even doing? Who am I? And you know, what do I want to say and who do I want to be? And that's okay because as we grow older, we do change and our focus changes and we can't We can't depict when we're 16 years old. We think we can, but we can't depict when we're 16 years
tell us that they
You
can
know,
too.
what things are going to look like when we're 35 and 40 and 50 and what, you know, and I mean, speak to anybody older than myself. And I'm like, yep, no, I understand that. Like, I'm not even going to try and guess what it's going to be like when I'm 65, you know? So, social media is interesting because I feel like when I'm posting, it's I have to really kind of say, like, am I being real to me? And same thing when I'm writing music, you know. The album that I was a part of, the very first album that I recorded, does not relate to me hardly at all now, even though I still love those songs. And so singing them, I completely can go back in time and go, that's why that song landed on the record. Because I needed that song at the time, or I, you know, I related to it so much, or I think that other people could have related to it, which is why it went on there. Or I just like thought it was fun and I wanted to get on stage and perform it. And there's still all of those types of songs on my latest album that's coming out soon. But they're different now. They say something completely different because of where I'm at and how my life has gone, and very different from somebody else. Somebody might be writing a breakup album right now. I don't need to write that at this moment in time.
Yeah, well
Hopefully never
said.
need to write it again, you know what I mean? But I think that the, you know, like my first album, I didn't even write a song. I didn't even know how to be a songwriter.
Oh, really?
No, so you know, it's so different. My second album, I only had two writes on. This album, I've written every single song, I think, except for one, if we even put that one on there. So it just is, it evolves, right?
No way. I can't wait to hear more. Like all the tidbits that you're slowly coming out with. I'm like, okay, next, come on.
I love that. And that's a big thing for me too, just even like what you're saying right now, for me to, I've been in the industry for almost 22 years now. So for me to still be in the industry, still cutting music videos, still, you know, cutting songs and having people like yourself excited for them is so humbling for me because like I just, it's cheesy, I totally get it, but it's like I feel so blessed to still be able to do this as well as my other company where I get to, you know, create shows and produce shows. It's still all music industry to me. And so I just feel like, yeah, like true to myself looks different at every level, every decade of my life. True to myself is it changes, you know. I'd say probably every 5 years. That's sort of the norm for me for albums. So, you know, going into my fourth record, yeah, I mean, it's going to look totally different than the last one, but each phase was perfect for where I was at then.
Totally. Now, did you? So, I mean, you said also on Idol you didn't sing country, and I know you sing a variety of genres, but what made you go down the country road?
Oh man. I wasn't a huge fan in the very beginning. When I was 17, 18, I sort of thought that country music was all like Waylon Jennings and like Hank Williams and like Kenny Rogers, because like that's what my dad listened to. We'd go camping. And my brother and I would be sitting in the back seat, and it was just like ding, 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 ding. And I'm like, "Are you okay? Here we go again. You can't tell Dad turn the radio off. It's his radio." So, you know, we would just, and I mean, it was like Walkmans.
Oh my gosh, right? That was even before the
You know, so we're in the back seat, like, you know, trying our hardest to crank up this music, you know. But so that's sort of what I thought it was all about. So when I started out in music, it was like alternative. Like I am full on 90s rock girl. Like I am like I'm Rage Against the Machine. I'm like U2. My first albums were U2, Joshua Tree, and Midnight Oil. You're probably like, what, who's Midnight Oil? Like Nirvana and Pearl Jam and Alanis Morissette and Tori Amos, and like that's the stuff that I sang. Sarah McLachlan, oh my gosh, like every single song Sarah ever sang. I went to like Lilith Fair, and
Oh
my
my
first
gosh,
concert,
yes, Lilith
yeah,
Fair.
right, like so good. My first concert was Rage Against the Machine, and my girlfriend and I ended up like partway into the mosh pit, and some guy picked me up and like put me down somewhere else because like I shouldn't have been there, you know. And so I was that, and then singing, I was like a lot of gospel because that was sort of how I got brought up. So gospel to me meaning like Whitney Houston and like Mariah Carey and like everything that was big and very ad lib and, you know, big trills and, you know, so that was sort of my style between the two of music. If it was solos in school, it was like a Whitney Houston type thing. And then, you know, my own little performances were more of that sort of grunge era, like alternative era. So country for me wasn't really on the radar until I had a breakup.
Oh yeah. Cause this is exactly what my kids will say. They all just sing about like on their front porch with their dog or they're sad or I'm like, no, it's more than that. Like now they're all addicted. Cause that's all I listen to. But
my kids, so I have three stepkids. When I met my husband, now the kids were 5, 9, and 11, and you know, how long now, but they are now turning 20, 25, and 27. And
oh
they
my
said,
goodness.
All of them said they hated country music and now they all love country.
Right. You're always converted eventually.
This 20-year-old is on the cusp. There's certain songs if they're mixed properly, you know? And I have like some sort of rapper and country at the same time.
Oh gosh, lately? Seriously.
I
yeah.
Know. But yeah. My girlfriend, she was already at Merritt Mount Music Festival that turned into Rockin' River Fest after. But she was at Merritt, and I had broke up with this guy, and it was not a fun one at all. And she said, my Jeep is parked in front of the house right now. She's got this yellow Jeep with a black top, and it's like a YJ, like just, you know, meaty thing. And she goes, it's full of gas. She goes, just drive it up to Merritt. Let's go. And I'm like, no, I don't want to. She's like, come on, just like, come on, you got to come to this. It's so much fun. Like, and there's hot guys and, you know, they're all in like Wranglers and wife beaters. I'm like, I don't even know like what that is. Like,
no, you sit in the river all day.
Totally. Yeah. No clue. Right. And she's like, just go grab the Jeep. It's full of gas. Like, come on. So I'm like, oh my word. Okay. I guess I got nothing else to do this weekend. Like, you know, no boyfriend. So I hopped in this Jeep and started driving. And on the highway, if anyone knows the Coquihalla, they know that you completely lose service. So my alternative music on the radio caves out. And the only thing I have to listen to is this mix CD of all the performers performing up at Merritt that year. And just so happened, it was like Leanne Rimes, Tim McGraw, the Dixie Chicks. And so I get there, I have a couple, and I'm now standing at the stage listening to these people and I can sing the songs.
Yeah.
By the time I've taken this 3-hour drive up to Merritt, I've listened to the CD 3 times. And as a musician, you sort of tend to memorize. And so I'm singing away and my girlfriend looks at me and goes, no way. And I'm like, yeah, thanks to your stupid mixtape. So that was sort of what happened. And I ended up sort of semi-dating this guy who wore Wranglers and wife beaters, excuse me, that's what we call them. And that was sort of what got me in country. And then the next thing was actually Mr. Aaron Burchett.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Aaron and I became buddies. He would play every local bar. And I learned 2 songs at first. I learned I Want a Man by Lace. And it actually turned out like Lace turned into Just Beverly Mahood. And we actually ended up performing that song. Bev and Patricia Conroy and I performed Lace at this year's CCMA after party.
Oh, fun. Oh my gosh, that's nostalgia.
Circle. I know, full circle. So it was that. And I'm All Right by Jody Messina. And Aaron, he had his band learn those 2 songs. And anytime that I landed at a club that Aaron was performing at, he would get me up to perform these 2 songs at the bars. And to be honest with you, had that not happened like as quickly as it had happened, it probably would have been a whole lot longer before I would start to get into the circuit of country. Yeah. But Aaron was super cute, still is. I mean, you know, and so it was easy to follow him around. My girlfriend had a huge crush on him. So she's like, let's go see Aaron 9 times this month. I'm like, okay. So, so
oh
that sort of started me like in the industry. And my very first award that I ever won with country was called, it wasn't this at the time. They had changed over, but it was called the Talent on Tape competition.
Talent on tape.
Talent on Tape, where a writer, they would, it's actually a cool way that they would do this. They would have a writer that would write for a female artist, a writer that would write for a male artist, a writer that would write for a group. And so those three writers would win their segment, and then three performers, a male, a female, and a group, would win theirs, and then they would each record the other writing. And so
Okay,
then
that's
this
cool.
album,
Yeah, like
yeah,
collaborations.
totally. And then this little album came out of all of these sorts of collabs. There was probably other things on there I can't remember, but it ended up with this little Talent on Tape album. So that was the very first thing that I had ever won, and that was the BC Country Music Association. And that was back in, I want to say, 2004.
So
The
what
year
year was Idol?
2002.
Okay, before that, and then okay, yeah, crazy.
2002 over to 2003. So
Okay.
it didn't end
Yeah.
until I think it was January, February. We were, yeah, if we I think it started in June or July, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, my
So
first
reflecting
one.
on this whole journey so far, what do you consider your proudest accomplishment?
Wow. I would probably have to say, in regards to recording music, it probably would have been the Muscle Shoals record. So I got to go down to Fame Studios down in Alabama and record an 11 song covers record, and over 50% of the band were the original Swampers. So the original Swampers were the studio band, the original studio band that recorded at Fame, so same studio, and they
Oh.
were the guys that recorded Respect with Aretha Franklin. So when you hear that song, that's them. Sweet Home Alabama, I'd Rather Go Blind with Etta James. They recorded with Bobby Gentry, Bob Dylan, Willie Nelson, like on and on the list goes. And so huge monster, Wilson Pickett, huge songs that you hear from back in the day were these guys in that studio. When Aretha Franklin was recording, she had heard a track, a Wilson Pickett track that the Swampers played on, and said, I want that band. That's the band that I want. Like in those days, it was one take. So when
Wow.
you heard a track go well, you were like, that's amazing that that band pulled that off. That's the band that I want. Excuse me. And so she gets to the studio and she's waiting to perform and sing with this band. And she's looking out and they're like, okay, well, we're ready for you. And she goes, well, where's the band? And they said, well, that is the band. Well, the whole band, except for I think two guys, are Caucasian. And she thought the whole entire band was going to be black.
No way. Oh my gosh.
How they sounded. And she goes, that's not the band. They said, oh yeah, no, that's the band that played on the Wilson. Yep, that's those the guys. It's too funny. These guys were just like monsters. And so to be able to go back into that studio in that room with those same guys and perform that record with them was pretty amazing.
Wow. What an
So you
experience. I can see why that would be, yeah, what an accomplishment. Absolutely.
pretty nerve-wracking too.
Oh my gosh.
This year was a pretty cool year for me. Usually at award shows, as a musician, as a singer, you're nominated for female vocalist or single or video of the year, and those are the things that you're like really, really trying to get, you know, like album of the year, even if it's a nomination, you know. And this year was my first year not releasing a single. The last single that I released was in 2022. And so for 2023, I hadn't released a single. And I was sort of going off of, you know, the videos that I mean, it's an expensive industry.
No
And so
kidding.
as an independent, you know, kind of floating it all, I just kind of thought, you know what? I really want to lock in and focus on producing some shows. And like I produced the Valley West Stampede, and I get to do country night for the Vancouver Canucks and the Abbotsford Canucks and the Vancouver Warriors and the Vancouver Giants. And you know, these it's so much fun being able to put
I
on
didn't
these.
know you would put those all on. That's awesome.
It's
Yeah,
so fun.
that's amazing.
And
So creative.
just being able to ask your buddies to be able to, you know, show up and play, and like they get the experience too, and they get their face on the big screen, and it's like for me, that's all it is being able to, you know, hang out with my friends and give them some cool opportunities as well. And so I took this past year to be able to do that for myself and for others and just sort of really dig into that. Still, you know, obviously promoting the last singles. I ended up winning video of the year on my last video. And so that felt amazing. It's the first time I ever won video of the year. But this year at the award show, even though I was nominated for a couple of music things like Fans Choice and such, I was also nominated for 3 awards for my company. So that was pretty wild. So my company's KLB Entertainment, and I was nominated for Country Event of the Year for Gone Country because I booked the acts for Gone Country. And then I was nominated for Industry Supporter and Business Professional. And so I was able to accept all 3 of those awards.
That's amazing, Karen. Wow. Just to see all the avenues and directions you can go within this industry is fantastic.
Thank you. So I like sort of blushing talking about it because it's not one of like these moments. It's just, you know, like when you ask me sort of what my proudest moments are, that one definitely hits home for me because it was such a surreal moment to think, you know, like something like Industry Supporter has to be voted on by the industry and the members are different. Like a BCCMA membership allows for anyone to vote for a bunch of different awards, but this one specifically is only voted on the actual industry. So you are in a band or you're actually, you know, like you're in the industry with all of us. So that cuts those votes sort of in half. And so for the industry to look at me as somebody who they felt could win that award. It's funny because I know I'm stuttering through this and I can talk about a lot of things, but like these things are so weird and surreal for me. Was just like completely humbling for me just to walk up on that stage and be able to, you know, thank everybody for an award and awards like that. So I may never win anything like that ever again, but this year was pretty epic.
That's amazing. Well, I mean, clearly you see what you put behind that. And like, as you said, you're stuttering your way through, you're not stuttering your way through. You can just tell that there's just so much like heart within that because of, yeah, just how grateful you are. So that's very humbling too. Yeah. So now new songs out, Trouble with Friends. How is it going? And then what's next? Can't wait.
Yeah, new song, Trouble with Friends. Oh my goodness, this song makes me smile. So in the writing of this song, I looked at my buddy Jeff Johnson and I did, and it was just a co-write with him and I. And I said, I just want a song that I can just belt out, have so much fun with on stage, relatable. And I sort of had a bit of a song title, but it changed, you know, which happens a lot in songwriting. And he said, what do you want the premise to be? And I said, I don't know. Maybe it's just that like hanging out with your friends, like what do you do when you hang out with your friends? And so we started to sort of brainstorm like what does happen? Like, okay, so Brittany and I are going to meet for lunch or we're going to meet for brunch. And then we're going to sort of the local watering hole. Right.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like Chelsea walks in and it's like, well, okay, we were going to leave, but Chelsea's here. So of course we have to order a mimosa because, you know, like we need to catch up with her. And then like, Mike walks in, it's like, well, I haven't seen him in like forever. And then next thing you know, you've said one more than the bill 100 times and then it's last call, you know? So like those, I chalk it up to, it doesn't have to be about drinking per se, but I chalk it up to like, we hustle and we work, you know, we work to make a dollar. And it's like, that's what our days are sort of filled with. It's, you know, cleaning and the kids and working and so on and so forth. But like those days when you know that like I'm going to meet like, you know, Nancy for lunch, like this is going to be a good day. And you know, you don't really have much else on the books. You could fill it with whatever you want, you know, but like it's sort of up in the air and those up in the air days just turn into like the best memories. And so
totally.
And that is the trouble with friends. They just never let you leave, you know? So
I love that. I think it's so important to have those days too, right? Because we are so scheduled and always so routined. And so to be able to allow yourself that, you know, once a week, once a month, whatever it is, it's so important to be able to just like be you.
Yeah, and when you look back in your phone and you look at those memories, it's like you can take screenshots of paperwork all day long, but it's those memories. So you're like of those types of, fun times and those spontaneous times. I love spontaneous. That's one of my favorite. Even my husband and I will go, "Do you want to go away this weekend?" And it's like already Thursday. I love that because it
Oh,
just
I
wasn't.
love that too. That's amazing.
Yeah, I know you do that too, for sure. So I love that you can do that too. So the video itself, I know every single person in the video. So like my brother is the guy that looks like he's drank too much. Like I literally chucked all my friends, my neighbor, I walk out of my house like 2 days before the video and she's like, "Hey, what do you got going on this weekend?" I'm like, "Actually, I'm cutting my next video." She's like, "What? Can I come watch?" I'm like, "Do you want to be in it?" She's like,
No way. That's
"What?"
awesome.
So I mean, like, it's exactly the meaning of the song was what we did in the video. We took regulars from the local watering hole that we hang out with and went, "Do you want to be in it?" And we've got like six of them are in it. So it's like, yeah, it was so much fun cutting that one. The next single that's coming out, that one is a little bit different. And I just finished cutting the music video for that one as well. And so it's called, and I don't even think I've told anybody this on any interview yet, but it's called Somewhere in Between. And it will be launching in the next, I think it's coming out in the next 6 to 8 weeks. And then the video just shortly after that.
Wow. And then when are you releasing the full album?
So there's one more single after that that will be
Okay.
coming out, I believe in the beginning of summer, might end up being the middle of summer. Timing is usually about 10 weeks, usually in between.
Okay.
So with that single, I believe is when I'll be releasing the entire album. And then on the album, there'll be a couple more tracks that no one's heard at that point. So
Amazing.
yeah, I'm so excited. And then the album is called The Trouble with Friends.
Okay, oh, I love it. I think you can spin that in so many ways, as you said too. So it's just so perfect.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I know that this is your interview, but you've got to tell everybody how we met.
Yeah. Well, through Laskini, right? That's how we came across each other. Yeah, I know. Well, Ryan and I were wanting to renew our 10-year our vows for our 10-year, and we have a summer cabin on Laskini, which you were mentioning Aaron Pritchett, which is kind of funny. I'm gonna come circle on that one in a minute, but he so I came across Karen and just instantly got obsessed with your music, and so did our little kids when you came to sing for us afterwards. They memorized like your whole CD back then. It was still a CD, and that's only 9 years ago.
Your kids are so cute. Oh, I love them. Say hi to them, by the way.
I will. But yeah, Karen came with her amazing band and they stayed at the good old Laskini Island Hotel. And just, oh my gosh, what a party that was. And it was, of course, middle of summer, but pouring with rain.
And we came in on a float plane, brought
Yeah.
all our gear and guitars and everything on a float plane. And I
Yeah.
and mentioned the hotel. We didn't know that the hotel completely shuts down, like the generator, because it's an island. Oh, everything completely shuts down at like, I don't know what it was, like midnight. So
Oh my God.
we're back at the hotel with our band and we're just kind of hanging out and having a drink on the porch. And literally you can hear it and everything just goes, ooh. And everything goes to black. We're like, what is happening? We've all got our phones out, like we're at a concert. We got our
Oh
flashlights.
my gosh, I wouldn't have even known that either. That's so funny. I actually don't think the hotel's a working hotel any longer. I mean,
What?
yeah, I don't think so. I mean, was it even really working then is the question.
That's awesome.
Oh
Well,
my
we
God.
had the greatest time at
Oh
that
my.
event. Oh my gosh, I got to sing, and oh my word, you guys were just beautiful and literally looked like you were getting married for the first time. It was amazing. So
Thank
that
you.
was so
Oh,
fun. And then
it
we
was
got to see each
so
other again.
fun. Yeah, I know. Then you've been here for si 60th birthday parties. Yeah, I know. Like, so
Amazing.
fun. We always love just like your energy, your light. You're always the people that you're playing with everything. Everyone's just always so great. And no, I mean, like, put your voice aside, which is amazing. Like, you're just such an amazing human to be around. So I'm so honored to always be in your presence, but even for today, for you to say yes, thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. And like, I love catching up with you. I was saying we got to do it in person at some point.
We do.
We got to meet for lunch. We got to like meet for lunch and stay to last call.
Yeah, exactly, right? Trouble.
Trouble, exactly.
So, I mean, it's not very hard to find where you are, but what's your social? Where can people find you and follow you and all of the things?
Yeah, it's just my full name, so just Karen Lee Batten on all the platforms. TikTok, I'm, getting the hang of, and maybe don't hit me up on Snapchat. That's just not gonna work out very well.
I'm with you there. Although I feel like I need to learn because that's how the kids communicate.
I know. Thankfully, mine are a little bit older now, so I'm like, ah, you do you, I'll do me.
Totally. Well said. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Karen. I really appreciate it. And I'm so excited for all the amazingness that you're up to and can't wait for your new song and full album.
I love you, girl. Thank you so much. And I'm so
Thank
excited for
you.
you and all, and your this new journey for you is just so awesome. So congrats.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Have a wonderful week.
You
Thank you. Okay. Bye.
too.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for tuning in today. As a mom of three, an endurance sport junkie, and an accountability coach, I get what overwhelm and feelings of high expectation can feel like. By getting crystal clear on tangible goals, I will work with you to create personalized action steps with unwavering accountability to ensure you hit your goals. If this sounds like something you're interested in, reach out to me at MomSweatSanity on Instagram or MomSweatSanity.com for your free exploration call. Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to share it. See you next week. You can find me on Instagram at MomSweatSanity.